Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and we have Shonda Garrison here.
Yay, you got it right this time.
And tonight is, let's see, this is December 11th, 2015. And let's see, we said the date. And before we get any further into it, I'll go ahead and give the toll-free number, the call-in number, and that is 1-888-627-6008. Oh my goodness, I'm actually doing things correctly. I don't know what's going on. Uh-oh. I'm not going to jinx myself. Okay. let's see. So what's going on? We might make some announcements.
So we've got level 2 class in Burbank, California, starting January 31st. And then we have the new level 1 online companion course that starts February 4th, I do believe.
Okay.
And then we've got Peru at the end of February is level 2 and another one of those level 1 online companion courses. And then our UFO and Transformation Conference is coming up in April.
Which is very relevant to tonight's guest.
Yes.
That we'll talk about here in just a second. Just another note on the classes or the thing there. Peru, we will be posting, as soon as I'm waiting for one more piece of information, we will be doing a tour of Machu Picchu.
Ooh.
Right after the class. So anybody who wants to do that, you do not have to be in the class to do that tour. So if you want to come and just join us, hey, if you've ever wanted to go, come on.
It'll surely be fun.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. It's bucket list stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, these are exotic places. These are, all these places are just fascinating, you know? So if you've ever wanted to go, what better people than us to be with? Shonda and I are going to be there.
Yep.
So
it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So we'll be doing it right after the class. So,
yay.
I can't wait.
I can't either.
Yeah, but these are, Machu Picchu is rather exotic. It's you know, supposed to be, it's one of those really, God, the word, you've seen Earl today. I've been,
yeah.
that part of my brain is gone. So
I've
if
heard
I'm,
the energies there are yeah. just amazing. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really looking forward
mm-hmm.
to experiencing that. One of the places that there's several places I've been wanting to go, and that is one of them. So I'm so excited that is finally here.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So now on to the conferences. We do have those coming up. And like we said before, we have put those to where they're back to back, and they're both in April now. The Transformation Conference and the UFO Conference are back to back, and our guest tonight is one of the speakers at the Transformation Conference, and so we're really excited to have her. And this is Maureen McGill, and she is one of our authors with Ozark Mountain Publishing, and this is her latest book. She was co-authored with on her previous book with Nola Davis on Life from the Other Side. And then this is on her latest book with Baby, It's You, Messages from the Deceased Heroes. So really excited to have you, Maureen. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you, Julia, for having me on. And how exciting you're going to Machu Picchu. Wow. What a mystical and incredible place.
Have you ever been there?
You know, I've never been there, but I actually have a neighbor who does healing work, and she's taking a group to Machu Picchu in just a few months.
Oh, wow. How cool. Well, so she knows all about it, then.
She does know about it, and I think she's gone several times, so mm-hmm. I might have you two connect. That would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's all kinds of healing. It's like this, it's more than a vortex. It's like, I don't know why I can't think of the word for it. Like you said, it's healing. It's
mystical. It's energetic.
Yes. Yeah. It's stuff. it's one of those places you've got to go to.
Right.
It's been calling me for years. Wow. So,
yeah. Great opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. So, okay. Well, let's talk about you. Now to you, Maureen. Okay. You know, what I always like to do is, and it's the same thing Mom always liked to do, because, you know, let's see how you got here to this world. Because not, you know, we all came from somewhere else, and, you know, and you're the same way. You have a day world. You had a day world, you know, where you did normal stuff, and then you gradually got over here into this stuff. And so tell us a little bit about your journey and what brought you here.
Well, I started my career in dance, actually, and I had a career now of 38 years as a professor of dance at a small university here in the Pacific Northwest called Pacific Lutheran University. And I always felt that the awareness extends beyond the body. And I became very interested in the healing arts of mind and body and developing a course on that at the university about 12 or 13 years ago. And the course continues, and I actually will continue it now in something called phased retirement. But in this course, we explore the energies in alternative healing, alternative energies that people work with in healing, and we also work with the intuition. And I've always believed that this awareness extends beyond the body. It's almost as if when you're at a party and you're looking at somebody, and you know that somebody's staring at you from behind, and you turn around, and then sure enough, they are staring at you from behind. So it's kind of developing that other awareness that you know so much about in the healing work that you do and the soul work that you do as well. So that's a little bit about my path, and now I've continued, and I got very interested after Nolan and I wrote this wonderful book called Live from the Other Side, where we interviewed many people who had experiences of messages from their loved ones. And I developed a tool in the intuition, which is working with the tarot cards. And in that tool, many people were coming up to me and asking me if their loved ones might have a message from the other side that I would be able to translate. So I don't call myself a medium in any way, but I do work with the intuition in that way to kind of develop to see what those messages might be or what those symbols might be for those people and how it works in their lives for a healing tool. And now that has taken off, and now this book I wrote called Baby, It's You, Messages from Deceased Heroes. I've always been interested in veterans. I love veterans. I think that they're remarkable people, and the path that they go through is transformative, in my opinion. So I decided that in this next book I would concentrate on messages from those loved ones that have died in any war, or maybe stateside accidents or suicide. And then put together this little book. We have a couple of stories of messages from surviving heroes, but most of the messages are from loved ones that have died in the war or war-related situations.
Right. Now, okay, so, but you're talking about like tarot and, okay, and you had the intuitive, but so something was happening back there. Okay, you touched on it. So what was happening that brought those things up?
So what was happening is, you know, people would come to me with questions in the readings, and they would say, is there a message from my loved one that just recently died? Can you do the tarot? Can you find that message? And so I would work with the tarot and see if we could find symbols that somehow would bring healing to that grief that they would carry in their loss of their loved one. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to be unfolding and unfolding deeper and deeper. And
okay.
Then...
How did you get involved in the tarot?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in astrology, and I have a wonderful teacher and mentor of the work. She's published many books. Her name is Arlene Tognetti, and I decided to work with her with the tarot because she is a mentor and a teacher in that work. So it was a symbol for me, a tool for me, and so I decided to work with it.
Okay.
It's really taken off.
And when did you start with all that? How long have you been doing all that?
So it's been about 15 years now that I've been working with the tarot and developing it. I do it professionally now, and I love it. I love the work, the healing work that it is.
Mm-hmm.
I always believe that we have the answers in our hearts and our souls, but it gives us guidance and sometimes grace in times when we have, you know, some difficulties in our lives.
Absolutely. Okay, so that explained, because that was it. It's like, I just saw, yeah, you were into tarot. I was like, well, how did she get into that? Where did that come from?
Right.
Yeah.
Just another tool to work with the intuition and to know that the guidance is there if we just open up to the symbols and the tools. People use tea leaves. People use different tools for their messages, I Ching or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. And then, okay, so people then start asking you if you saw a message from their loved one.
Right. And so in that, we would work with the symbols that came up on the cards, and somehow it would present itself as a healing for those who came to me with questions. And it's kind of taken off for me in helping others to work with healing and grief and questions that they might have had that are unresolved.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, the first book was Life from the Other Side, which presented, you know, like the general topic, you know, that life does go on.
Right. Life does go on, and these were ordinary messages from ordinary peoples of walks of life, policemen, teachers, nurses. I simply gave us the story about how the message came to them, and then we just simply relayed the story and translated that for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had this interest in the military, and I feel that there's so many situations of young military spouses and mothers who lose their loved ones in war or war-related situations, and they must receive messages. And I just don't think there's much out there in the press when it comes to messages from veterans. So I decided to work on this little book, and by word of mouth, I had these beautiful stories that came together. And thanks to Ozark Mountain Publishing for presenting this to the world. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And it is a beautiful little book. And the pictures in it are so sweet, you know, and that's, I feel like that's such a beautiful, way of, you know, paying tribute to these wonderful people.
You know, I wrote a little introduction that might be fun to read at some point here on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. And in that introduction, it shows how these couples met in real life and then how they meet now. From the other side.
Yes. Why don't you just, I'd like you to just tell what you want to from the book. Just go ahead and just start, you know, because this is your show, and I want you to just start talking here.
Okay. Well, what I love about the book are just the willingness that so many widows and mothers that have given me their stories so willingly, they wanted to tell me their story. The press wants to know how they died. The press wants to know about their families and how everybody's coping. But they wanted to tell me about these loving messages that they received and then how they met their loved ones and how it really was a love story. So let me just read for you part of this little introduction, because in that it tells how they met and then how they meet now.
Mm-hmm.
We met in the laundry room in college. He carried my underwear to my dorm room in high school at a wrestling tournament, through my cousin, at Walmart where we worked, at a country bar on a Thursday night, at a nightclub on the dance floor, at a costume party with mask and a hat, on Instant Messenger, I was 17, he was 16, through his best friend Jeremy, in grade school when we played on the playground, on Facebook, we were married after 1 month of dating at the pawn shop, on a blind date at New Year's Eve, in the convertible when I pulled up and he pulled right up next to me, on a website called Hot or Not, where we exchanged photos, when I was a cheerleader and he was a football player. But now we meet in my dreams, in the hallway when I smell him, in bed when I feel his skin touch mine, when I see his silhouette, his shoulders, his head, and how he held his arms like he was holding a blanket. When the song comes on the radio at the restaurant, at church, or in the elevator. When I find pennies on the ground or in the weirdest places. When the basketball bounces on the court and nobody's there. When I see him staring at me from the waist up when I'm in bed. When I find the Dutch key ring in the middle of the desert from him. And when I meet the police officer who's wearing your memory bracelet. When I hear your voice saying, my son. When the kids see you standing in uniform, when I find the heart-shaped sticker on a leaf, When the digital frame stops for no reason at your photos, and when he comes to me in my dreams with a message, and when I hear his voice singing his favorite song. So those are the ways that they meet now, and they're just so touching and beautiful, the senses, in the dreams, in waking visions that they might have had, or family members that might see them or have a story. That's kind of how the messages come to them now.
That's so beautiful. That has to be, that has to give comfort to them, to the families, and to anybody that hears that and reads that. Have you been finding that?
You know, I'm finding that it's a real comfort because it's a validation. It's different than just a regular dream when you have this visitation or this connection. It's different when you really smell that cologne. It makes the skin on your, your hair on your shoulders or your arms just stick right up. It's just a different kind of awareness that happens when you know, when there's this knowingness that the intuition is there with the message, you know. And that's how they feel. They feel it when they go, Maureen, it's so real. It had to be him, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, man.
You know, it just, it goes to show that the love never dies, you know, that we have these bodies, and you know so much about this and the work that you do with Soul Speak.
Right.
And it's like, love, that vibration doesn't die. Your mom is still with us. You know, we can't hug her. We can't give her a kiss. We can't hold her hand. But the thing is, we know that the message is there. We know she's with us. We know that she's following you. I'm sure she's doing her work over there as well, but she's following you in the work that you're doing and the support that you're doing.
Right.
And to me, it's everlasting love. It's what the vibration, what love truly is.
Exactly. In fact, what happens is, you know, they they become even bigger, you know, than they were here. You know, so they are able to do so many more things, you know. So that's what I found with Mom anyway.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it has to do with the vibration. Like, the vibration there is faster. Many of those who have the gifts of mediumship, which is, you know, being able to be that microphone right to the other side, they will say that our loved ones are younger. And then when they're younger, our vibration is much faster. You know? So they're able to come through in a different way. You know, they're able to do, like you said, so many different things at one time. And there's just a whole different sense of time as well. Oh, there is no time. I don't know.
Exactly. I know. Everything changes.
Right.
We keep trying to put our definitions or our rules on it, and it's like, it all changes. It's like, throw all that out the window, because we can't put our parameters on any of it. So
yeah, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how the message comes. It might be through music. I think music is a great way that when we have certain songs that we identify, relationships that we've had with people, those songs will just come on at the weirdest times, you know, and you'll think, oh my gosh, that has to be him, or that has to be her, or, you know, that's the song that we had together. How could that possibly be on in the elevator right now, you know?
Yeah.
And it usually comes to us at a time when we're asking for a message, or we're, you know, getting anxious about something, or there's something going on where, oh my gosh, that's so settling to hear that song.
Yeah. Hmm.
I love the way music can do that for us.
Right, absolutely. But like you said, it's a matter of, you've got to be aware. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, because they're always, like I've said with Soul Speak, they're always giving us messages. It's a matter of being aware. Just kind of, just keep your eyes open, because they're
right, you know, pennies on the ground. I mean, who would think, you know?
Yeah.
But pennies, you know, coins can also be a way that they connect with us. It's interesting. You know, that electronic vibration of the radio with the song coming on, or the music coming on when you're in a store or whatever, that's an electronic kind of thing to me, or the lights flashing on and off.
Right.
Shonda
and I were having a look, a conversation yesterday. We were talking about the phones, and we were just wondering about this yesterday, about how, well, actually, we were talking about the extraterrestrials, but it has to do with the, you know, with the other side in general, period. How easy they probably are to interact with, because it's a digital device. What do you think about that?
I think that there's something in that. It's like if there's a vibration electronically that they can come through. And again, to me, it's this sped up vibration. It's faster for them, you know. Mm-hmm. And because this electronic thing is fast. I mean, here we're talking over Skype and, you mm-hmm. know, you could be in one part of the world. I could be in another part of the world. And yet, you know, we're connecting through this electronic vibration, really.
Right. Yeah, because you were getting
I had a very strange voicemail that just kind of come in from out of nowhere, and whenever I went to listen to it, it sounded like an alien trying to come through and communicate with me, because it was
oh my goodness.
There was no making sense of it for me at that moment. But, you know, whenever you say that high vibration, it was a very fast message, code, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and you said it never made a ring, and I get several like that. It bypasses the whole ringing. You had the phone right next to you. You had it on, and it bypasses that. It goes right to the voicemail. It's like it was never on. So it's like something, and then it leaves something like that. That makes, yeah. You know, so it's like, you know, there was, it's like it's coming. It's from somewhere else. It's always what it feels like. So.
Yeah, and sometimes we just have to kind of let it go and maybe receive the message later. Maybe you'll figure out what the message is later, that so-and-so connects with, you know, is giving you a phone call. So you get a phone call later, and it happens to be from Uncle Bill, who tells you that, you know, Aunt Mary just died, or, you know, maybe it's not that extreme, or he starts talking about Aunt Mary, who's been gone for quite some time. And who knows if that was Aunt Mary's vibration, but it might have been, you know, like, if we pay attention deeply to the message, we can sometimes find out, you know, what is it that they want us to know?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
So like, yeah, maybe.
Help us with the translation here.
Right. The different languages that we must know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I also love fragrance. And I think that a sense of smell that we have is so, you know, it brings back memories. You know that in the healing touch work. I remember doing healing touch with a support group one time, and I smelled this after shave lotion. I couldn't believe I could smell that, because the person that was there was a female, and she's lying on the bed, and we're just doing, you know, some healing touch over her. And I looked at the clock, and I watched the clock when I had this fragrance of this after shave lotion, and I didn't say much. And then at the end of the session, we evaluated. And two other people at the table said, oh, your husband, so-and-so, Paul, just came into the room. That was at about 10:05 or whatever. And I went, oh, my gosh, did he wear such and such fragrance? And she said, yes, he did. He wore that kind of aftershave lotion. So, and he's alive. But she was thinking of him at that time.
Oh.
So isn't that interesting how that vibration of smell can come through,
yeah,
even absolutely. With the power of thought, you know, thinking.
Yeah, wow.
That makes sense.
It does. Well, and that's what she really associates with him, apparently, is the aftershave.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she was thinking about him when we were doing the healing touch on her, and I actually recorded the time that I smelled that to see if there could be some connection of, well, was she thinking of him at that moment? And she was. She brought up a situation, you know, it's really interesting. And in these stories, you know, I find that that's to be true. You know, walking past a cemetery site, and this one family member could smell the chocolate chip cookies baking.
Oh,
and her loved one, her brother, used to make chocolate chip cookies. And he would do that quite a bit. He happened to die in 9/11. There's some stories in the book about heroes from 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that, you know, he connects with her, that smell of chocolate chip cookies. And that was something that they did together. They loved baking in their mom's kitchen. It's just fun. It's fun to think about how our loved ones can connect with us.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be spooky, not to be scary, but to really think of those situations. When did I really connect with mom? You know, when was it? Was it when we were in the kitchen talking? Was it in the car when we were talking? Maybe it was when we took walks together, or maybe it was when we did the laundry, whatever it might have been. But
yeah.
It's those times that we can kind of go back to and think, maybe she'll come to me in the laundry room. Maybe she'll come to me when I'm driving. If you want to have that, the connection to happen, you know.
Right, right. you know, and some people might think it, you know, if they're new to, well, even if you're not new to this, because this is something where it crosses barriers, because some people may say, okay, that's a barrier that I'm not, you know, they may be into everything, but it's like, okay, but there's a barrier there. You know, I'm open to all of this, and I realize there's life, you know, it goes on, and yes, I know they're over there and I can hear them, but I don't know that I'm ready to have them cross, you know, where I can smell them and, you know, so it's like that's right. Spooky to them, you know.
And that could be spooky, and who would want that? I don't particularly want to see them myself. You know, but for other people, that's nothing. They can see them, or they can sense them, or they can, you know, feel them. And one story that I have, it was the children of this young widow who they were going off on their first day of school on the school bus, and their mom was waving to them from the porch. And all of a sudden, they both just stopped, and they looked at her, and they turned white as a ghost. And she said, "What's wrong?" And they said, "Nothing, Mom." And they ran to her. They said, "We could see Dad. We could see Dad waving to us from the porch." And, you know, she gave him a big hug, and, you know, they all kind of hugged each other, and they were a little bit scared, but they also wanted to show that their dad was right there and they could see him, you know. And their mom just thought that was so beautiful, and it really actually kind of helped her to know that he was there, you know, next to her like that. But not all of us want to see our loved ones, you know.
Right. Yeah. Or they may be afraid that if they did, it would be spooky. But like you said, I mean, they're going to, well, you know, TV does things and that sensationalizes all that. And I would think that if they presented themselves, it would be in a way that would be non-threatening, safe,
loving.
Loving way.
Right.
Or, you know, like in the poem, the digital frame stops for no reason, you know, it's like, whoa, it's just saying, hey, I'm here. I know there's a party going on. I know there's a celebration going on. And so the frame just stops.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting how that vibration can come through sometimes if we just be open to the messages, you know.
Right. Well, in the classes we do, it's so funny in Australia. I didn't tell you about this. In Australia, we were doing a class, and they had a screen up there that we could use for when we did the videos, but otherwise it was supposed to be off. Well, it kept coming on its own, all by itself. And when it did, then it would come on with these messages. It would just have these random messages.
Really?
And then it would have this little hand that would wave. And then it would have this, it was really funny. And we were like, okay, it would start to get creepy after a while. It has to be Mom.
I feel like it was your mom.
Oh, absolutely. And at some points, and I know on electronic things, you know, especially with that kind of stuff, they always using the term source, you know. Well, in the classes, you know, source is used a lot. It was just so funny because that kept coming up, source. It was just like, okay, this is really getting weird. So, but that hand waving was really like, my turn.
Exactly. And it's light and it's fun. And it's like, you know, that's the way it should be, not something heavy or spooky or, you know. But here she's just simply waving, pay attention, I'm here, I'm listening to the, you know, work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, we always have a chair set out for her because that's her chair. I mean, acknowledging it's still your class. So,
oh, that's terrific.
But it was just so funny. Waving. That's what we say, every class. I mean, something happens in every class.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That she's obviously there.
And I think the other side likes that, too. They acknowledge that you're acknowledging them, they're acknowledging you, but you're putting that chair out for Mom. I mean, how terrific. They love that. I'm sure they love that, too, that they're not forgotten, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So beautiful.
Oh, and people kept asking permission to sit in the chair, too. You know, like, yeah, I don't think she'll mind you sit on her lap.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, it was really sweet. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk about some other stories in there. What were some of your favorites?
Well, I think my favorite, one of my favorites is, there's so many, but there's one that was shared to me by a woman. Her name, she's a Gold Star mother. Her name is Nadia McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And she's the mother of Patrick McCaffrey, who died in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's a beautiful visitation dream that she has from Patrick. But Patrick had two children, and a boy and a girl, and he left those that boy and the girl behind when he passed away suddenly from an explosion in Iraq. But the beautiful message that she received was a dream. And it was like a dream, but it was a waking kind of vision. She was, you know, had her eyes closed. She was resting, sleeping. And all of a sudden, she had this image of Patrick. He came right to her, and he was in his army fatigues. He was all dressed in his fatigues and everything. And he said to his mother, "My son." And she kind of woke up from this vision or whatever and went, "What?" I mean, she felt like he was right in the room. Mm-hmm. And she thought, I wonder if his son is okay. So she picked up the phone and she called the son, and the son was just fine. Actually, she called her daughter-in-law, and the son was just fine. There was no problem. And then she went to the next day, and the next day she had this similar experience where she was in that state between waking and sleeping. And here he comes again, and he's right at her ear, right in front of her, and she sees him, you know, like he's in his fatigues again. And he says, "My son," same thing. Mm-hmm. So now she's kind of really getting worried about the grandson. So she calls the grandson, talks to him specifically. "Grandma, I'm fine. There's no worry. There's nothing. There's no problem." So then she has it a third time. And by then she's really kind of getting upset and kind of worried and wondering what the message is. She can't figure it out. So mm-hmm. after the third time, she receives a phone call from a young man. And he's really upset on the other line. And he's crying. He said, "You know, my dad died in Iraq. My dad died in Iraq." And she said, "Well, who is your dad?" And she said, my dad was Patrick McCaffrey." And she said, "Well, who are you?" You know. And it turned out that this boy was a boy that Patrick didn't know that he had. It was a woman he had dated in high school, and they had dated and were very serious. And then all of a sudden she left town. And even Patrick didn't know why she left town. And she left town because she was pregnant, and then she had this baby. And but there was no communication for, I believe it was 19 or 18 years.
Mm.
And so sure enough, you know, this was another son. And this woman, Nadia McCaffrey, just opened her heart to meet this young man, to have him meet his siblings, his half-brother and half-sister. And she said it was just a loving time, you know, that Patrick had to come from the other side to tell her this story about this other child, because he didn't know that he had this child. The woman had never told, the woman that he had dated had never told him that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And the message then comes from the other side. He finds this place of all knowledge on the other side, and he finds out that he has another son, and he's letting his mom know that, you know, basically she's going to get a call. So that was kind of a beautiful story to me. And also a story about unconditional love, because this woman just opened up her heart to meet this young man. She said, "Oh, Maureen, he has similar characteristics to my son. He ordered the same thing at the restaurant while he went to the restaurant. You know, had similar likings in food." And she said it was just so wonderful, you know, to have this experience and to be open to that experience. So I feel very blessed that she could share that loving story with us in the book. And her name again is Nadia McCaffrey. She does so much work in this world for veterans since Patrick's passing, and has had does work with veteran villages across the country.
Yeah, I was reading that she's really, really gone out there, and that's made it her mission in life now.
Yeah, so that was really special.
Mm-hmm.
Very special to me.
It is, absolutely. And so that's the beautiful thing, you know, where these they've gone on, people have gone on and done, you know, they do more. Probably because they are getting these messages, do you think?
I think so, you know, I think that there's, you know, work that they do, you know, for, you mean from the other side, that's what you mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, work from the other side. I think there's work that they're doing on the other side to help us heal over here. He wanted that son to connect with his mother, you know, so that, because he never knew he had that son, and if he had known he had that son, he would have been a step forward dad in all ways. So now he's a dad on the other side, and he's helping, you know, his mom through this and giving her that beautiful message.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what else? Go ahead and give us some examples of other stories in here.
I guess I'll also tell you about Reverend Bill McDonald. And Reverend Bill is a Vietnam veteran who did the foreword for the book, a very short little foreword for the book, which is quite beautiful. And I love some of the quotes that he spoke about. Bill is actually someone who's had a near-death experience in his life, probably several. And he's also a veteran, but he so much believes that the message does come and, you know, love never dies. And he associated kind of the foreword with the Bob Dylan song of the Long Black Cloud that, you know, that Bob Dylan sings about. And he says, you know, it's stories like this that's shared within this book that become so powerful and important. And they give those who have little hope for joy that there's some inspiration and meaning. It reminds us that all of life does not end with our worldly death, that the stories within show that some can still see and sense that their loved ones continue to love and in this other place that some may call heaven, knocking on heaven's door. They first begin to believe, and then they know that those loved ones are still very much here with us. And that long black cloud that can be lifted and the darkness can be illuminated through our connections with our departed loved ones. You know, contacts through various mystical and spiritual encounters and feelings sometimes speak very loudly and clearly to our hearts. They get our attention in different ways that make us realize that, you know, they're sending us a really personal message, just like we talked about. And he says this, never, ever doubt the power of love to cross over and embrace us at any time or at any place. He's found in his experiences that it just validates the truth, you know. So I was really beautiful that he contributed to the book. And he said, you know, it really opens up heaven's door, just like the Bob Dylan song. You know, it gives us the greatest hope and faith. And, you know, he shared a few beautiful words in the book for those veterans. And he does remarkable healing work with veterans across the country as a reverend, non-denominational in the retired veteran.
Yeah, I was looking at the pictures in here, and so many of these, the family, they had such little babies, you know, they're such beautiful pictures.
Yeah, it's difficult, you know, to think that they were so young and life was taken from them so quickly, but, you know, they had other work to do, and their loved ones have other work to do here.
Right.
I have a beautiful widow who is a local here to the area. I live in the Pacific Northwest. Her name is Stephanie Groper. Her husband, Chad, died in Iraq as well. And Chad gave her a message after he passed away, and I just love this part of the story. And it took her quite a while to even think about dating, but she finally did. I think it was a good year and a half or so later. And she went out with this fellow, and, you know, she just didn't have a really good feeling when she first went out with him. And you know, they went out for, I think, a bite to eat or something, and they came back to her place. And she just, you know, she just didn't really feel quite right about it, but she didn't really say anything quite yet. And she was sitting in the living room, and she has this kind of altar set up for Chad, and it includes liquor bottles because he kind of liked to have a drink here and there. And but anyway, she's sitting in the room with her with this new fellow, and all of a sudden the whole shelf just falls down.
The
and
altar?
The shelf is the shelf that she created with the altar.
Uh-huh.
And it's the liquor bottles and everything. It just went, you know, right down in the room. And she just kind of jumped from the couch, and she said, you know, Maureen, I knew that was it. I knew that was a message for Chad that I did not have his permission, and this is not a good situation that I'm in. So she kind of laughed about it when she told the story at that little book signing that we had a few weeks ago. And it was so sweet for her to, you know, have that acknowledgement. And she said, you know what? It was him. I know it was him telling me that, you know, look for somebody better. Don't settle for this. So it was really sweet that, you know, she shared that.
Oh, goodness.
And she can laugh about it, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
It's not all sad and soupy. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
It's not that it's not okay. It's that you can do better.
Exactly. Exactly. We all know those signs, but do we listen to those signs?
Exactly. But she was already feeling it. She knew.
She knew. You're right. Was that knowingness?
Yeah.
And maybe you can speak a little bit about that knowingness, you know, that you do in the work in Healing Touch. There's a kind of knowingness that happens that moves the energy forward, that moves it, you know, through, and, you know, that allows it not to be stuck anymore, you know?
I know it's hard to describe. I always just say that's just one of your abilities, and that we have, because these are natural abilities, and one of them is that you know. And people say, well, you know, how do you describe that? And it's you know that you know, and you don't know how you know. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to give it some credibility.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just it. We don't know how we know something, but you do know it. It's in your core. It's in your gut. And if somebody were to ask you, you know, just now, how did you come to that? You don't know how, but it comes from somewhere, and you're right. And you just have to go with it. So, and if you and don't, people, that something's wrong. So,
right. And some people may, you know, attach to their religious beliefs, maybe. But mm-hmm. this, for me, goes beyond religion, or it goes beyond that faith factor of religion mm-hmm. that maybe a certain doctrine will get into. But some people will be able to validate some of this through their religion, actually, in the sense that, you know, they believe in angels or they believe in the other side. And I know that many of these widows are very, very religious. Mm-hmm. And it was very heartfelt to me that they were able to open up to the message that they received, you know. Yeah. That their doctrine didn't say, okay, that when it's over, you know. Yeah. But their doctrine didn't say that. You know, they had faith that, you know, that love continues, that vibration of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to, it comes from somewhere. I mean, it just, yeah, it's something you just have to, yeah, it is a faith and it's a trust. It's something you start developing within yourself.
And then, you know, I think we said earlier, you know, why do some people get the message and some people don't, you know? And maybe, you know, some people might say that maybe the veil of grief is a little bit thick right now, or, you know, we hold grief here and they hold grief there because they can't come through in the way that they would like to come through, maybe, or vice versa, however that went me. And sometimes it just takes time for that veil to become lighter and lighter.
Right.
And it's sometimes when we're not paying attention where the message comes to, when we least expect it, you know?
Yes, yes.
I particularly like those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people, like with Mom, because that's the one that's most relevant to us right now. She's practitioners. Keep saying, you know, she's working with them all over the world, and they'll have sessions, and she'll come through sessions and everything. And I'll get messages a lot of times, especially right after everything happened. And they were saying, I was getting messages, and they said, well, they said that Mom was saying, telling them that I was, I couldn't hear her right now because I was grieving. And I was like, well, I knew I was grieving, but I was doing my own form of grief, like you said, you know, but I could still hear her. And it's like, well, why I can hear her. I don't know why she's not telling me herself. And so, I don't know what. Yeah. So it's,
you know, in some Native American cultures, they will say that, you know, it's a year, you know, that you must wait a year before these messages come through. And maybe that's the case, but you know what? I've talked to so many mediums and those who kind of have a direct, you know, phone line to the other side, and they just say, it doesn't matter if it's a year or 2 years.
Right.
It may be 5 years, but it might be 10 minutes that you get the message. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, there aren't any absolutes in this area. I don't think there's any absolutes. But some might disagree with that. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I mean, that's my own personal opinion. I agree with you. I also think it's like you said, it's probably when you least expect it. It's when you stop looking and when you stop, you know, when you stop trying, that's when things usually happen.
Right. So. That song comes on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a situation just recently. I was going to the graduation at the university, and I was on my way into the Tacoma Dome where the graduation is held, and I was just a little bit late. And because of the retirement, I was going to be having to kind of stand up there in front of graduation, many, many people. And I was feeling a little bit nervous about it. And I had a student the first years of my teaching who was Hawaiian. And he really taught me about Hawaiian music, Hawaiian hula, the sacredness of hula. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, as I got into the car, I just said to him, "Hey, Scott, give me a message if you're with me today. Just give me a message." And I swear, I turned the radio on, Julia, and on the radio was a special Hawaiian show on the AM station. And it's called The Hawaiian Connection, and it's broadcast here in the Northwest.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
To make it even further, the first song we're going to bring on is by Brickwood Galuteria. And Brickwood was his brother. And his brother was a DJ on the radio, but he also was a singer of Hawaiian music. So here Brickwood was singing this Hawaiian song on my way to the graduation when I just simply asked for the message, you know. And it was just so beautiful that I knew that Scott was with me to give me Brickwood's song. You know, it was beautiful.
Yeah. What more confirmation could you need?
Yeah. I was like, whoa, this is kind of woo-woo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think it has to be woo-woo. And I think everybody can receive that message if we just open our hearts to hear it, you know. That we get so involved in what we're doing and life's dramas and entanglements and, you know, so much on our platters that we just don't slow down to really hear what that message is. You know?
I think you're exactly right. Well, and I think that's in general, you know, to everything like that, not just deceased loved ones, but to anything in these other dimensions, to this other, you know, to this other worlds around us, the other dimensions around us.
Yeah, so that's so important. Well, I have my tarot cards here right in front of me, and I thought maybe I would pull a tarot card for each of you today for maybe a question you might have or just for inspiration. I could do that.
Why don't you do that? I think that's wonderful. Let's just do that, yeah, for just whatever. I just feel, I don't know if you have
so, Shonda, you're there as well, right?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, so I'm going to pick one for Shonda first here, and a card for inspiration for you. And the card is that there's an offer, Four of Cups. So there could be an offer in your work that's now shifting into an exciting place for you. And you're prepared, it says, for any changes in your life. You've got new growth at the top of the Nine of Wands. And you're really putting things together now, stepping up to the place where you can feel your security as more very secure and just in a stronger place. So that's your inspiration coming. We all like love, money, and security for us to come at, but I definitely see that for you. So keep going, girl, in the new year that's coming up. And okay, the new moon tonight. We have a new moon tonight.
Oh, tonight's a new moon?
New moon, new energy shifting now. So if there's been a little heaviness or tanglements this week.
Wonderful. Shifting energy. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Okay.
We all got to calm it down now before the holidays.
Yeah.
And then for Julia, let me pick three for you too.
Say that again?
I'll pick three for you for inspiration.
Okay.
So there you are at the bench working away, Seven of Pentacles. Your work is really mounting now. And the work that you do is presenting, again, new growth, new energy, and it's starting to really mount. There's a friendship around you, probably in this new work, as it really is becoming your friend and your light in this world that you create. You have a lot of messages coming at you, phone, faxes, and emails. So it says in these cards, don't take on too much. You don't need to take on too much. And it says that there's more travel coming because you got the world card. So there's going to be more opportunities for you to be in that world. But oh my gosh, the last card I'm choosing for you is the star. That in this work that you're doing, there's hope, faith, light, beauty, grace, and spiritual energy that's just wrapping up your work in a way that's shifting your vibration to a much higher place. You have some wonderful, sweet choices coming with the lovers. So good year coming for you, too.
Fantastic.
2016, girls. Can you believe that?
All right.
Woo!
Fantastic.
It's going to be here before we know it.
Okay. Sounds super.
Good news.
So maybe I could tell your listeners that I do have a website, and it's called babyitsyou.org. Babyitsyou.org. And there's a lovely little video that we posted on the website that was put together by Christine Johnson. Put together a really nice little video for us of some of the photos from the book,
mm-hmm.
and messages and widows.
Yeah,
have
so what I was going to do is tell you, I want you to tell people how they can reach you.
They can reach me on that website, babyitsyou.org, or messagesfromheroes@gmail.com. So messagesfromheroes@gmail.com.
Okay. And do you have any more works? Anything else in the works?
I kind of have some things happening. I'm going to have a conversation tomorrow with somebody who's over in Europe who is interested in maybe telling her story. So I'm looking at that for myself right now. I'm excited about marketing the book, about sharing the book with the military in this area, the military support groups. One of the widows in the book, her name is Stephanie Groper. She's the director now of the Washington Warrior Widows, and she's hoping to have a component, you know, a group in every state. So I'm hoping that I can connect with Stephanie on that and supporting the widows and helping them get their messages out and helping them lift their grief in this, this work of losing loved ones.
Yeah. So are you finding that a lot of the ones that share that they've gone on and they're doing a lot to help others?
You know, many of them are. I will have to say that many of them are still struggle with their grief and still struggle with loss. But many of them are moving forward with their families, having new beginnings, you know, new relationships. Many of them are starting over again, which is really quite beautiful, or helping others. There's, you know, pretty much a magic strength that these women have so young and yet so so old of the experiences that they've gone through.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know with what you did, that's got to be a huge help for them, just by helping them to tell their stories.
And I'm so happy with Ozark Mountain Publishing and the beautiful cover that you gave us. And we have a kind of a vintage radio on the cover, which is a beautiful translation to the music in the book where each of the stories is attached to a song, which was their song. So beautiful illustration there. I love it. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. That's what John always does. That we give him that license. We just say, okay, John, you know, he's our artist, and he pulls that. It's like he gets into your head and he finds what's relevant there. And he figures that out. So that's his work. He does a good job.
And that's an important layer for these stories and for the widows too. They all have said that they love it so much.
Good.
Aww. So I have a little poem that I might end with, and it's called How Often Your Heart Drops Pennies from Heaven. And each day found in the car, on the counter, in the elevator, on your grave, I see lovers walking silently on sidewalks. Pennies shine on dark and sunny days. I know it's you, smiling, hugging, and kissing me from heaven. Heroes are with us always.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you both, and I'm wishing you the best in the holiday season.
You too.
Oh, you too, Maureen. That is wonderful. And that I think that's a wonderful way to end on and end the show. So
I know that the book is available through the publishing company through ozarkmountain.com.
Yes, we have it. Yeah, Ozark Mountain, ozarkmt.com. You have it in the print form, and the you can get it in ebook form as well off of the site. So
great.
You know, you can also get it through Amazon and Barnes and Noble, but if you can get it off of our site first, we'd appreciate that. And but it's available in your local bookstore and any of your popular buying sites. So, yes. So anyway, but it's time to go now. And it's been a wonderful show. And we've so enjoyed having you, Maureen.
Thank you so much, Julia, and wishing you both a holiday season of new beginnings and some restful times, I hope, for you.
Well, for maybe a month, and then we're going to be on the road. So, but according to your reading, it sounds fantastic, and I treasure it, and thank you again. And we want to wish everyone else, we're a couple weeks to Christmas, and so we'll see you next week, and we'll wish everybody a wonderful week, and let's make it a wonderful one, and have a great time. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.